God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Policeman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And we're going to cover a couple of really interesting clips, audio clips that talk about where we are, where we're going, you know, the transhumanism, a couple of other things, the corruption, because, you know, what we're experiencing, obviously, we're at war with our own government, and it's happening around the world. It's not unique to the United States. It's not unique in the history of the world. We've had to deal with these things in the past. But it's interesting that we're living in a time like this. Very few, you know, there's been times in our lives, like in the 80s, for those who are older, the 80s and the 90s, where people were just left alone. It does seem like 9/11 really changed the world, and in a bad way. I think New York has never recovered from it; never got its mojo back. And without the mojo, you don't got the manhood either. You know, you lost your mojo, you lost your manhood, you lost your ability to stand up for yourself. But what we started seeing also was just the government in and of itself getting away with things brazenly. And this started with Obama. This started with Obama because at least in the Bush years, you had, well, you can go back beyond that, really. But I remember Gary Hart, one of the candidates, got caught, you know, with a telephoto lens kissing a woman. And his career was over. He never showed his face again. Today, that would be nothing. They would just lie to your face and say, oh, no, we were putting sunscreen on each other with our lips. And people would be like, yeah, that's what he said. It sounds like it. I mean, it literally, like, you're looking at something, and they just say, no, that's not a wall. That's not white. That's black. That's not up. That's down. That's not night. That's day. It's at some point, you're just like, I'm looking right at it. But the saddest part of the whole thing is that somehow the left has become indoctrinated. That they literally believe, I'll have conversations with liberals, and we can agree that, you know, certain things aren't right. We could agree that we don't accept certain rules. And you think, well, maybe just maybe, like a Bill Murr, for example, just to use, I'm thinking of about five different people, individuals, where I'll have a conversation, and I'll say, yeah, come on, you got to call BS on that, right? You got to call BS on that. And they'll be like, yeah, I even called BS on that, right? Like Bill Maher, he's been making a living out of calling BS on something. And you're like, wow, he's pretty cool. He's hip. And then all of a sudden, you're like, who are you voting for? Joe Biden. Who are you voting for? Liberals. What's your party affiliation? Democrat. I'm like, how is it that you just spent the last, you know, year trashing every single item on the liberal agenda, and yet you're still going to continue to pull that lever for more of it? That does not make any sense to me. I have too many friends like that. You know, and at some point, you know, it's sort of like acquaintances or whatever. You know, I mean, I barely can find myself to even forgive them for the crap that they put our country through. I'm going to go ahead and take a caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, Scott, real quick. We all talk about these things. We all acknowledge them. Every day, all the radio hosts talk about it. We do them. But last night, General Flynn came into South Dakota to show his movie. I watched that movie. I don't know if you saw it. Just please, everybody see it. It's really an unbelievable movie. And it's just straight truth and facts. But it's just shows what evil the deep state is. Here's my point. What are we all going to start doing? What are you as a talk co-host? There's something I'm going to do. There's a big rally over in Boston. I can't afford to go. I can't take off work. But you know something? I'm sick and tired. I'm emptying my checking account to go to Boston at the state capitol. They're going to have a close down the border at the start. Some people, there's a Gold Star mother that the town has just absolutely crucified. This story is unbelievable. What I'm saying is, I'm going all the way over there from Boston, from Rapid City to Boston, to go over to the 3-day rally at Saturday at 10 o'clock. I hope you'll tell your people that you're in that area. Go to this. This is what we have to do. We have to mobilize in masses, okay? And we can't be afraid of them pulling us J6ers on us, because those J6ers are still rotting in jail for us. So it's time for us, you, everyone. Please, I hope people will go to this 10 o'clock rally at the state capitol in Boston. I'm going to the heart of communism, okay, risking my life, my money, which I can't afford to take off. But what I'm saying is, we have to take some kind of action now. It's too late for the talk and discuss the problems anymore and rehash them and rehash. We all know what's going on. You know, you watch that General Flynn movie, and you're like, we have to do something. We have to do it now. He's doing something. He's going across the country showing this movie. This man, they destroyed his life. They destroyed his family. His son almost committed suicide. They used his son as a tool to get at him. I'm just asking. I'm begging. I'm praying that everybody start taking action. Don't you say stand up, talk about it. I talk to people. You know what they say to me? Well, I'm just one person. I can't do anything. Well, I'm just one person, too, and I'm going to do something. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that point across. But I appreciate what you're doing. I hope you'll tell your listeners. I hope I see you there at that state cap. I don't know how far away you already live. I know you're in Virginia, I think. But please, anybody who can get there, 10 o'clock Saturday morning. I'm flying out Friday. I'm going to the rally. I got to fly all the way back Sunday. Then I got to go back to work and money. And again, I don't have the money to do it. But I'll tell you something. If we don't have a country, if we don't have a constitution, what do we have? Nothing. And it's time for the divine hand of God to step into the people, and God will support us. That's how I see it.
All right. Thank you for the reporting that. And
thank you.
Hopefully people will take note of that. Thank you. All right. Thanks. Take care.
God bless you.
All right. Well, there's a patriot right there trying to make a difference the best way he knows how. And the thing is that we have to fight back. That's for sure. But what we're dealing with is a problem. And the problem is that we could somehow try to get through to our friends and our family members where we have an ear and make a difference that way. And don't annoy them. You know, if you want to get a horse to drink, you know, you could get a horse to drink with honey, right, or sugar. But the thing is that sometimes you have to win them over, their hearts and minds over, and their votes will follow. The main point that I want to make here is that, you know, that's what I said about Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter was all about dividing the black population. All of the Democrats' agendas are about dividing and conquering. And this is no different. Anytime you borrow from Peter to pay Paul, you could always depend on Paul's support, right? So I remember Dinesh D'Souza had this clip, this audio piece. It's probably 15 years old, 10 years old now. And he was in the University of Oregon. And, you know, he talks about Obama on a horse and how Obama promises to give you a sandwich, but really he's not giving a sandwich out of his own pocket. He's actually having you pay for the sandwich, and then he's giving it to somebody else. That's what he was talking about. The point is that we got to stop our government. We have to stop our government from picking winners and losers and buying votes, whether it's disguised as student loan forgiveness or open borders in the name of humanity. You know, open borders is nothing but corporations importing slaves to do labor cheaper, taking your jobs while you subsidize their low-wage income with government tax dollars. Think about it. Not only are you giving up that entry-level job for your children, the ones that are in high school trying to get their first job to get some extra spending money so they can go out on the weekend, those jobs aren't even available anymore. And you're left as just the consumer buying from these critters, these people that are exploiting the hell out of our system. And they're taking our jobs. And not only that, but it's not even safe. There's no, you know, who's to say that these people are clean if they're selling your food at the mall? I'm dating myself because I don't think malls really are a thing anymore. But, you know, I mean, they're not clean. Are they safe drivers driving your Lyft and Uber? Are they even safe? Are they hygienic handling your food? I mean, are they sick? And then you're paying for the subsidy of them, and they're ungrateful because they're stupid. Half of these people are ungrateful. Lacking gratitude is a measure of stupidity. It's really the smart people that have gratitude in their hearts because they understand what life is about. But we are dealing with a lot of different things here. And we're dealing with the bad people seem to be getting lighter sentences. You know, we have two standards of crime. And they figured out ways to reduce crime statistics by just not arresting anybody. The crimes are going up, but the arrests and getting people off the street is going down. The repeat offenders is going up, but somehow we're not statistically counting crime. So you get a guy like Eric Adams talking about how crime is going down. Safest big city in America. That's what he says. Obviously, it's not true. Now, you know, the question is, are we reporting more on TikTok or what are we doing? Is there just more phones and video? Are we being desensitized? I know this. We could live a better life. We could do better. We can do a lot better. And we should do better. But it starts with people like Bill Maher should not be rewarded for talking out of both sides of his mouth. If he's going to trash the left and the wokeness, then he should just do it and take a stand, stand for something. But he's not doing that. Comedians are starting to really get in on this. I mean, Jerry Seinfeld is starting to speak up about it. Comedians are starting to fight back. The first bastion, they're starting to stand up for themselves and fight back. It's about time. You got people like Elon Musk standing up and making a difference. It's a fight. We're at war. And you have to fight smart. So you have to get organized. You have to figure out ways to make a difference. I, for example, no longer watch Fox and Friends in the morning. I'm trying to make a statement with every little thing that I can. And I don't. I haven't watched Fox and Friends in forever. I think that there are four people now on that. They don't even have a curvy couch. I don't know. X is making a difference. Elon Musk is making a difference. There are investigative journalists. Now, they got Catherine Herridge brought her to her knees, but Julie Kelly has made a difference. And Elon Musk has made a huge difference. You got to say kudos to Elon Musk. So, there's this new thing that Elon Musk is doing called XTV. XTV. And that is going to make a world of difference. It's going to make a world of difference. So, we have a lot of things we want to talk about today. There's election fraud we have to fight back against. We have a government that is picking winners and losers, meaning if you're illegal, you'll get government aid. If you are a student that is being recruited to vote left or be a ballot harvester, you'll get your student loans paid for. There's all kinds of problems associated with big government picking all this. So I got a lot of feedback from Jennifer Granholm testifying. It was about the Bidens and the oil reserves, the strategic oil petroleum reserves. And I knew that when 2022 was coming around, I knew that the Bidens were going to do something with the oil because oil prices were through the roof. And Biden, again, how in the world did we only pick up a seat or two? Of course, we know why, because Republicans are rhinos and uniparty, and they're all voting for a slush fund called Ukraine. We have an audio clip today about Ukraine as well by Spartz, the Ukrainian congressman. The only Ukrainian congressman thinks that Ukraine is nothing but a slush fund of corruption. We got a administration in the White House. Not only do they not police cocaine, even though the White House is the most video recorded place on earth, they can't seem to tell us the truth. They are lying right to our face. Just like I said, they're telling you black is white, up is down, left is right. They're telling you this stuff. And somehow the liberals, our liberal friends, are believing it. Obviously, we don't believe it, but they're believing it. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with cocaine in the White House? Are you okay with Ukraine being a slush fund? What, you just don't want to know the truth? And like I say, I have these conversations, but somehow, at the end of the day, they continue to vote for the left. I mean, I can't express enough my frustration with that. How in the world can these smart people that I know and love be so stupid to allow their country to slip away? They're not standing up for anything. They're not fighting back. They're not questioning anything. Why? How? Have they been indoctrinated? Are we living in a twilight zone? I mean, all of these things flashed through my head. It's laid out there in black and white. It's so obvious, and yet they just won't change their way of thinking. All of my friends that were liberal 10 years ago are still liberal today. Half of them have moved to Florida or somewhere, but they're still radically left. I don't know how you can be radically left in this environment where it's so obvious. I don't understand it. One of these days, I'm going to come on the radio and I'm going to have an answer. And I'm going to be like, a light bulb moment. This is big. Check this out. This is the thought I had. I am still peeling this onion. It feels like pounding sand. But I think we're close. I think it does involve globalism and transhumanism. And we're going to hear this interview that Tucker did with this guy named Alexander Dugan that's interesting, to say the least. But before we do that, we're going to go ahead and pick up, because at the end of the show yesterday, we were talking about Jennifer Granholm, Secretary of Energy. And she basically acts like she doesn't know which way is up. Now, Senator Hawley grilled her and said, you didn't sell your stocks. You were profiting from your stocks. That the people at the Department of Energy shouldn't be in energy stocks if they're controlling energy. And, you know, she allowed the strategic oil reserves to be depleted to zero. And again, in the 2022 election, it was Biden that decided, when he stopped drilling and stopped ordering leases and stopped recertifying leases for drilling and exploration of oil, and he stopped ANWR in Alaska, and he stopped the production of the build out of the Keystone Pipeline. Naturally, futures in oil were going to skyrocket, and that's what happened. So in order to curb the price of oil, which is what he wanted, because the Bidens are benefiting from electric vehicle production. You know, remember Freeport-McMoRan and the Biden crime family was in bed with China, getting access to the cobalt mines in Africa, and also investing in battery manufacturing companies like Emperex. So there's Freeport-McMoRan drilling and mining for cobalt and lithium in Africa, and the Bidens have a hand in that. And then they're invested in a company called Emperex, who's manufacturing the batteries. And so long as the government subsidizes electric vehicles, even though Ford is losing their shirts, they're still making money on the production of these vehicles, which are going to probably be trashed before they're sold, because the battery shelf life, they're going to have cars with batteries that are 3 years old before they even sell them. Nobody wants them. They didn't plan it out right. You know why? Because the Bidens never ran a business in their life except for the one that sells out America. And so there it is. They don't have the pieces in place for a successful business. Elon Musk did it right, but he's a little ecosystem compared to the entire automobile market. At least he has some infrastructure that's proprietary. Now it's not, it's starting to open up. People, other companies are starting to utilize Tesla electric power stations, but still it's a mess. And Ford is losing their shirts off of this. And not to mention the fact that they've spent billions of dollars to build out electric stations, and they didn't do it. The thing that's happening in Ukraine is there are government contractors, military contractors, that are making military equipment. But guess what they're not doing? They're not giving. They're building tanks that can't even start. They're building helicopters that can't fly. They're building bullets that don't shoot. They're building guns that are just cheap, made in China, would be an uptick in quality. They're building the cheapest, lousiest products and selling them as if they're selling Ferraris. That's the kind of profit. They're selling $90,000 bags of bolts. This government waste and spending, this laundromat. See, it's not just about money goes over there with strings attached, comes back to a Blinken-run organization like WestExec, and then they dole out lobbyists that control the flow of money through the congressmen's foundations and campaign donations. But it goes well beyond that. The military-industrial complex is making crap. They're making the worst of the worst, and they're charging premium prices for it. So they'll sell you a BB gun and act like it's a tank. You'll pay $1 million for the equivalent of a $100 gun. That's what they're doing. And there's more waste and abuse. The Bidens are in on it. Let's take a listen.
You don't know if China bought a lot of our oil from that Strategic Petroleum Reserve release in 2021? You're the Energy Secretary.
Our release. Obviously, releases happen on a global market.
No, I'm talking about our release. They bought from our release.
It's my understanding that China has purchased a tiny amount, like under 3%, from our Strategic Petroleum Reserve. That was before the ban. They are no longer purchasing. Okay. Again, this is all pursuant to what Congress requires us to do as an agency.
There was no directive from Congress for you to release that oil.
No, I'm talking about who we sell to.
Right, but you don't need to talk to a representative from the Chinese Communist Party about our decision to release oil.
Perhaps I'm not making myself clear. I did not talk to a member of the Chinese Party.
You tried.
About our decision to release. It was about encouraging them to release along with all of these other countries so that we could make up the Russian barrels that were pulled off the market.
Did they do that?
They said that they did. I don't have evidence that they did.
Yeah, because they have an enormous stockpile now, and ours is at historically low levels. And I want to point out that around 900,000 barrels of oil were sold to UNIPEC America, a subsidiary of the Chinese government-owned gas company Sinopec, which in turn had received billions of dollars from BHR Partners. Who is BHR Partners? BHR Partners is a private equity firm co-founded by Hunter Biden, who held a 10% stake. Were you aware that Hunter Biden benefited from the sale of our Strategic Petroleum Reserve by an affiliated Chinese company?
No.
Okay. You've not replenished the Strategic Petroleum Reserve since, right?
We are in the process of doing that. Part of that is to repurchase barrels. Part of that at taxpayer, at a rate.
It's too expensive now, wasn't that your statement?
At the moment, it is above what we wanted to. We sold barrels at $95 a barrel. Right now, the price for purchase is around 90 or maybe a little bit less if you look at WTI.
As the Secretary of Energy for the United States of America, do you regret depleting our strategic petroleum reserves to historically low levels, currently stand at?
I'd like to just set the stage.
I'd like for you to answer the question because I'm out of time. Do you regret that decision?
I am going to set. No, I don't regret doing what is right to be able to help replenish the global supplies.
What about for the United States of America? I'm talking about for our country.
Senator, you're out of time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Did she answer the question?
Senator Jill Warren, please.
So you see that the Bidens are involved in selling off our oil to China, right? Now the Bidens are also involved in energy with the electric vehicles. Let's take a listen.
These state-backed companies contributed over $1 billion to the buyout of Arizona-based Freeport McMoRan for the purchase of a cobalt copper mine in the Democratic Republic of Congo. When my good friend Mr. Donalds talked about cobalt, Hunter Biden stood to gain millions on the deal. The firm also purchased a stake in China's Contemporary Amperex technology company, the world's biggest maker of batteries for electric vehicles. Committee Republicans have already written to the Transportation Secretary about our concerns that due to the Biden administration's policies, American jobs are suffering. For example, Ford Motor Company recently announced that it will cut 8,000 more American jobs. As Republicans highlighted in our January letter to the National Archivist, the American people deserve answers on the extent of Hunter Biden's business dealings, both domestic and abroad, and whether, or really how much, then Vice President Joe Biden was aware of the extent to which his son was trading on President Biden's name or Vice President Biden's name. Thank you, and I yield back.
Representative Clyde.
The corruption knows no bounds. And Ford, by the way, just recently reported, exposed the Biden electric vehicle mandate's bankruptcy in one headline. Ford is losing $132,000 on each electric vehicle sold, but still wants to keep selling them. So, that's just incredible, right? So, how long can this farce continue? Ford loses $1.3 billion with electric car vehicles sales in the first quarter of 2024, while its $3 billion earnings from traditional internal combustion vehicles was more than double compared to the previous year. You know, you got China outpacing the world combined in coal-fired plants. They're getting all the pollution. We get none, thanks to the Paris Agreement, right? Tell me that's not a farce, right? All this corruption, it's absolutely bonkers. So, by the way, the Granholm interview was conducted by Congressman Schmidt. All right, so I want to also take a listen to this is Victoria Sparks, Congresswoman Victoria Sparks, talking about Zelensky's Ukraine slush fund.
And that's why I push. I said, listen. You know, I was very tough with them. That's why they probably hate me. It's probably, if not more than
she's
Putin.
She's Ukrainian, by the way.
But they have a lot of propaganda against me in Europe and in Ukraine. They tell the craziest stuff about me. Oh, listen, yeah. They put like a billboards on me like, oh, this is like pro-Kremlin Putin asses or something like that. It's terrible, you know. But it's really, you know, I think when I tried to push, because all I said is that I want accountability, and I said I want to have point-to-point logistics. I want any weapons will be delivered right to the front line with Americans. I don't trust any Ukrainians overseas. That, you know, there are some good people there, a lot of shady people. And that's what my conflict with them started, that I said I want point-to-point logistics and Americans to oversee what's happening with weapons, and I'm not supporting giving cash to Ukrainian government. No, I do not trust them even a little bit. I understand.
Why not?
Well, listen, I mean, unfortunately...
Do you think he's capable of stealing money from us?
Everyone is, you know, or they can steal their own money and then ask us to refill the budget.
The chances that he's already stolen some money from us?
Listen, I mean, the considering how that country is, you know, I mean, listen... Let's just be very honest who we're dealing with. Unfortunately, the former Soviet Republic, except maybe Baltics, whether it's Russia, Ukraine, or any other ones, are very corrupt countries. The whole Eastern Europe, unfortunately, struggling still from corruption and the level of corruption. When you have a war and opportunities, you know, for corruption, when you have infiltration by Russian too, you know, the Russians know if they infiltrate Ukraine, and that's been happening a lot, actually, when he had to fire a bunch of close people, you know, then you can, corruption can lose any war. And I think that's a big challenge to do that. And I said, listen, they can deal with their own corruption. My responsibility for American weapons and money, what we're doing here, I am an American congresswoman, and I want to make sure that they are not, you know, taking our money and weapons. And that's what, you know, I was very surprised when Biden said, and that's why I put pressure, they said a little bit better, where I said, okay, what do you mean, like, I don't know what's happening after the border crossed, you know, we gave stuff at the Polish border and we don't know what's happening there. I said, that's BS. That is unacceptable.
What is the current way when we give money, what happens to the money and who does the money go to? Like right now, the $61 billion, right? That's going to go to Ukraine. Where is that going?
You don't know if they're going to go to Ukraine, because if you think about it, that's what the problem I had. Like, I know, like, from even one of the packages before, you know, the, you know, $1 billion went to Yemen. Houthis, you know, Houthis in Yemen that were taken from a terrorist list that shoot in our ships, you know, so like, they have associated causes. So Ukraine is becoming a slush fund where not all this money actually go directly. Some of the money go to rebuild some of our allies, you know, there, you know, in Europe. Okay. That's all great. But why is that part of Ukrainian money? Some of the rebuild our stockpile. Some of them, you know, some of the countries give garbage to Ukraine and then bought some new equipment and Ukraine got half of not working. So
did you hear that? Listen to her say this again. Listen to this.
Stockpile. Some of them, you know, some of the countries give garbage to Ukraine and then bought some new equipment and Ukraine got half of not working. So I think...
See, give garbage to Ukraine and half of the stuff's not even working. This is a huge, huge fraudulent thing where the military industrial complex is selling garbage to Ukraine, half of which is not even working.
It's all great, but why is that part of Ukrainian money? Some of the rebuild our stockpile. Some of them, you know, some of the countries give garbage to Ukraine and then bought some new equipment and Ukraine got half of not working. So I think this is just not right way to do it. That's why
this is exactly what I was saying. They were given weapons to Ukraine that would, and then Ukraine would sell those weapons to ISIS, who was protecting the oil fields. And there was oil deals with Burisma. And what it was designed patriotically to weaken Russia by taking away their ability to sell oil. Because if we could sell it on the black market, Saddam Hussein's Iraqi oil, using ISIS mercenary groups, ISIS terrorists, Jihani John, remember, keep the media out. We'll cut their heads off if they come in. And we kept the media out. They did. And people like Lindsey Graham and John McCain at the time were financing this stuff and finding their way up to Ukraine. And what they were doing was on the black market, they were using people like Kofor Black and Mitt Romney to go ahead and sell weapons on the black market because all Obama did at the time was blankets and pillows. But we need Javelin missiles, the tank busters. But then what would happen is we would sell weapons to Ukraine. They would then ship them down into the Middle East. In exchange, they would get oil deals. And all the while, the politicians were profiting pennies on the barrel. Just like we heard earlier today where Hunter Biden was going to get 10%. Not 10% for the big guy in this case. It was 10%. Of the strategic oil petroleum reserves, or get a piece of the action with the cobalt mines in Africa. And they were making money hand over fist. And we were turning a blind eye. And so when Trump came along and wanted to pull out of Syria, that was going to shut the oil pipelines down into Europe. They hated him for it. So they started a chemical weapons attack and blamed Russia. So then we had to stay. Because otherwise, we would have had to shut down that operation. So then Trump says, well, if I can't do it this way, I'm going to go ahead and annihilate ISIS in about a month. And Lindsey Graham wasn't happy about that either. And I said, Lindsey, ISIS is not even a fighting force. They're a mercenary group that's protecting oil pipelines. And by pipelines, I'm not talking about real pipe. They were protecting pipelines, literal pipelines, but also trucks and oil fields and protecting the assets. And strategically and geopolitically, it was a counter to Russian dominance of oil using the Nord Stream 2 into Europe. So the politicians that were profiting from it could sell themselves as being patriotic And that's why you have, that's why exactly why it is that you have people like Lindsey Graham so mean against Putin, so anti-Putin. We need to take him out. We need to kill him. We need to kill Putin. Putin's bad. Russia did it. Russia hoax. Russia this. Russia that. Russia, Russia, Russia. Well, that's why, folks. It was about money and greed. Benghazi was just a part of it. Benghazi was the gun running out of Libya. Mubarak, overthrowing Mubarak in Egypt, was all about controlling that region with using other mercenary groups. Instead of ISIS, I think Obama's first choice was using Muslim Brotherhood. And then they merged. They morphed. Because they were getting skids of cash and bars of gold to pay off these fighters that were wielding terror in all the unpoliced regions and disarmed regions. So I want to also get to this other piece. You just heard this corruption from a Ukrainian congresswoman in Ukraine. And it goes on. I mean, it will make your head spin. But I also wanted to talk today about transhumanism and this whole evolution of where we are right now. There's this guy, his name's Alexander Dugin. And Tucker Carlson found his way back into Moscow and is talking with this guy. And he makes some really salient points about how we find ourselves in the culture war that we are in. But make no mistake about it, the culture war that we're fighting is a war. It's one of the deadliest wars we're ever going to see. And COVID and the vaccine, the deadly vaccine and the bioweapon called COVID-19, is just a sample. Starvation, famine, food systems, climate, taxation, inflation are all weapons of war. Let's take a listen.
It demands a little patience. So I think that everything started with individualism. So individualism.
Okay, so what he's talking about here is a little hard to understand. He's talking about individualism. It started with individualism. Now, this is going to be really interesting, 5, 7 minutes of dialogue. You gotta really, you know, he's hard to understand, but he makes some really good points here.
That was a wrong understanding of the human nature, of the nature of man. When you identify individualism with the man, with the human nature, you cut all the relations to everything else. So you have very special idea of the subject, philosophical subject, as individual. And everything started in the Anglo-Saxon world with Protestant reform and with nominalism. Before that, nominalist attitude that there are no ideas, only things, only individual things. So individual, it was the key and is still key concept that was put in the center of liberal ideology. And liberalism, as in my reading, it is a kind of historical and cultural and political and philosophical process of liberation of individual of any kind of collective identity, collective or so that transcends individual. And that started with refuse of Catholic Church as collective identity, of empire, Western empire as collective identity. After that, it was a revolt against a national state as collective identity in favor of purely civil society. After that, there was a big fight of the 20th century between liberalism, communism, and fascism and liberalism has won once more.
Yes.
So, and after the fall of the Soviet Union, there was only liberalism. And Francis Fukuyama has pointed out correctly that there are no more any ideologies except of liberalism. And liberalism, that was liberation of this individual from any kind of collective identity. There were only two collective identities to liberate from: gender identity, because it is collective identity. You are man or woman collectively, so you could not be alone. Liberation from gender, and that has led to transgenders, to LGBT, and new form of sexual individualism. So sex is something optional. And that was not just deviation of liberalism. That was necessarily elements of implementation and the victory of this liberal ideology. And the last step that is not yet totally made is liberation from human identity, humanity optional. And when now we are choosing, or you in the West, you are choosing the sex you want as you want. And the last step in this process of liberalism, implementation of liberalism, will mean precisely the human optional. So you can choose your individual identity to be human, not to be human. And that has a name: transhumanism, posthumanism, singularity, artificial intelligence, Klaus Schwab, Kurzweil, or Harari. They openly declare that is inevitable future of humanity. So we arrive to the historical terminal station that we finally, five centuries ago, we have embarked in this train, and now we are arriving at the last station. So that is my reading. And when all the elements, all the phases of that, you cut the tradition with the past. So you are no more Protestant, you are secular atheist, materialist, you are no more national state that served to liberate from empire, and now national state becomes at its turn obstacle. You are liberating from national state. Finally, family is destroyed in favor of this individualism, and the last things, the sex that is already almost overcome, sex optional, and in gender politics, there is only one step to arrive to the end of this process of liberation, of liberalism. That is the abandoned human identity as something prescribed. So to be free from to be human, to have the possibility to choose to be or not to be human. And that is the agenda, political, ideological agenda of the tomorrow. That is why how I see Anglo-Saxon world that you have asked of. I think that is just the vanguard of this process, because that started with Anglo-Saxon's empirism, nominalism, Protestantism, and now you are ahead as an Anglo-Saxon, more devoted to liberalism than any other European
people. So what you're describing is clearly happening, and it's horrifying, but it's not the definition of liberalism I have in mind when I describe myself as what we say in the United States as a classical liberal. So you think of liberalism as individual freedom and choice from slavery, right? So the options as we conceived them as I was growing up were the individual who can follow his conscience, say what he thinks, defend himself against the state, versus the statism, the totalitarianism embodied in the government that you fought against, the Soviet government. And I think most Americans think of it that way. What's the difference?
Very interesting question. I think that is the problem is in two definitions of liberalism. There is old liberalism, classical liberalism,
yes,
and new liberalism. So classical liberalism was in favor of democracy. Democracy understood as the power of majority, of consensus, of individual freedom that should be combined somehow with the freedom of other. And now we have totally the next station already, next phase, new liberalism. Now it is not about the rule of majority, but it is about the rule of minorities. It is not about individual freedom, but it is about wokeism. So you should be so individualistic that you should criticize not only the state, but individual, the old understanding of individual. So you need, now you are invited to liberate yourself from individuality, to go further in that direction. So I have spoken once with Fukuyama, Francis Fukuyama, on TV, and he has said before, democracy has meant the rule of majority, and now it is about the rule of minorities against majority, because majority could choose Hitler or Putin. So we need to be very careful with majority, and majority should be taken under control, and minorities should rule over majority. Majority, it is not democracy, it's already totalitarianism. And now we are not about defense of the individual freedom, but about prescription to be woke, to be modern, to be progressive. It is not your right to be or not to be progressive. It is your duty to be progressive, to follow this agenda. So you are free to be a left liberal. You are no more is free enough to be a right liberal. You should be left liberal, and that is a kind of duty. It is prescription. So liberalism fought during its history against any kind of prescription, and now it at its turn became totalitarian, prescriptive, not free as it was in some.
And do you believe that was inevitable? That process that was always going to happen.
I think that is, I perceive here a kind of logic. So a kind of logic that is not just perversion or deviation. You start with one thing, you want to liberate individual. When you arrive at the point when it is possible, it is realized. So you need to go further. So, and you start to liberate ourselves from now, this time, from old understanding of individual in favor of more progressive concept. So you could not stop here. That is my vision. So if you say, "Oh, I prefer old liberalism," they would say, the progressives, they would say, it is not about old liberalism, it is about fascism. You are defender of traditionalism, conservatism, fascism. So stop here. Either be progressive liberal or you are done, or we will cancel you. That is what we observe.
Well, it's certainly what we're living. And to see self-described liberals ban your book, which is not a manual for bomb making, or invading Ukraine. It's a, you know, these are philosophical works. Tells you that it's not, of course, it's not liberal in any sense. I wonder, though, when you reach the point when the individual can no longer liberate himself from anything, when he's just not even human, what's the next step after that?
That is described in the pictures, American pictures, films.
Yeah, and he gets into some really interesting things like the Matrix or artificial intelligence and things like that that are controlled. And I made the point, you know, Walter Cronkite, Peter Jennings, Dan Rather were the artificial intelligence of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Tom Brokaw, whatever. They were the people to be trusted. And now today we're living in this artificial world where artificial intelligence is going to take over. And that's why, things that Elon Musk is doing could have a huge impact. XTV is coming. It's going to replace YouTube TV. And YouTube is scared. They are very scared because X could be something to reckon with, free speech wise. Well, that brings us to the end of the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Be sure to check out MAGAPAC.org. Make a donation if you'd like to continue to keep the Scott Adams Show commercial free. Use Red State as your promo code over at MyPillow.com. See you next time on the radio. Bye-bye, buddy.